Anybody know who I got them ribs from during the parade?
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball. This is it. This is the last of the season recap shows, the 30th in a series of 30. Of course, we're talking about the reigning back-to-back NBA champions, the Golden State Warriors. I'm not sure there's going to be a ton to talk about with them for fantasy anyway, but Michael Bolton, what should we do?
Let's get to it.
Perfect. Make sure you've checked out the rest of the recap shows, all the NBA draft stuff, four shows there, three preview shows and a mock draft. And I just recorded a short 20-minute show regarding the Dwight Howard and Timofey Mozgov trade earlier today. So check back in your feed to check that show out. Also, again, reminder, next week going to be doing the first time I've done it anyway, a call-in show for the podcast. I'll provide the details of my Skype for you guys to send me messages. And then on Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern, which is Tuesday, 10 a.m. here in Australia. So Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern, I will call you guys and answer your question on the show. So make sure you're staying tuned for that and looking out for the details regarding the call-in details for Skype, which I will tweet out and announce on a podcast later on. So make sure you're getting ready for that, taking questions on Dynasty, on Draft, on Redraft, on Basketball, on anything that you want to talk about on the call-in show. Let's talk Golden State Warriors, the team that finished as the number 2 seed in the Western Conference with a 58-24 record, but of course won the NBA Finals in a 4-game sweep over the Cleveland Cavaliers. Only lost two other games outside of the Western Conference Finals, the Spurs in 5, the Pelicans in 5, and then overcame a 3-2 deficit against the Rockets to win in 7 in those Western Conference Finals. This is a team who has just the one pick in this upcoming draft, the 28th selection in that draft, no second round pick. They had the third best offense in the NBA, the 11th best defense, and played at the fifth highest pace. So really not anything overlooked. They're really good numbers, clearly, but nothing as exceptional as what we've seen from them in the past. They had the best field goal percentage in the NBA, the best two-point percentage in the NBA, the best three-point percentage in the NBA, and of course, the best free throw percentage in the NBA. So kids, make your shots. That's how you become a good team. They're also 26th in turnovers. It's one of those things that does go around as being somewhat of a myth that all good teams really limit turnovers. Now, turnovers can kill you at certain times, and not all turnovers are created equally. But if you go look at the team rankings of turnovers, you'll see in the low turnover area, some bad teams. You'll see some good teams. In the high turnover area, you'll see some bad teams. You'll see some good teams. In fact, playoff teams are fairly evenly apportioned between the worst 10 teams in turnovers, the middle 10 teams in turnovers, and the best 10 teams in turnovers, because turnovers are really not, and this is why it's part of the reason why I hate them in fantasy as well, is they're not, and people go, oh, you got to have things realistic. They're not really an indication of being good or bad. In fact, most of the good players are relatively high in turnovers, and the Warriors and the Philadelphia 76ers are two good teams who are really high in turnovers. They had the most assists in the NBA, the Warriors, the most blocks in the NBA, which is a little bit surprising. 7th in defensive rebounding, don't attack the glass on the offensive end at all. 9th in overall steals. They get to the line at a not a great amount, 20th in free throw rate, 15th in 3-point attempt rate, which I think people will be a little bit surprised. They look at the Warriors as this 3-point bombing team, and they're right in the middle of the pack at 3-point attempt rate. The Rockets, for example, 50% of their shots were threes. The Warriors, 34%. It's a significant difference when you're looking at the play style. And the Warriors take a lot more twos, and they hit them, obviously, at a really, really sensational rate, as we've seen with this team over the past couple of years. Now, in terms of free agency for this team, Kevin Durant is an unrestricted free agent. Unless something completely bananas happens, he will be back with this Warriors team. You've got Uncle P, Nick Young, Zaza Pachulia, Kevon Looney, David West, and JaVale McGee, all as unrestricted free agents. There is zero chance that all five of those guys will be back. I would imagine Young would be gone. I think that JaVale and perhaps Zaza could be gone. David West, I'm not sure. And Kevon Looney, he just might see an offer well above the $2.27 million that the Warriors are capped out in terms of being able to offer him. He might get a mid-level exception. He might get a three-year, $12 million deal somewhere, which he can't get for the Warriors because they did decline his fourth-year rookie option. So they can only offer the value of that fourth-year deal, which would have been the $2.27 million deal is all that they can offer him. They've also got Patrick McCaw as a restricted free agent, obviously coming off that back injury. I imagine they'll be looking to bring him back, even though he was a little bit disappointing in his second NBA season. So some interesting decisions with all those big men that could open up more minutes for someone like Jordan Bell. If we see the absence of Zaza, of West, of McGee and Looney, if all these guys leave, doubtful all four will, but if some of them leave, opens up some minutes for Bell. And if Nick Young leaves, that opens up more minutes for someone like Quinn Cook and perhaps Patrick McCaw or whatever they do at pick 28, because the Warriors, they do make some pretty smart drafting decisions. They didn't get to become the greatest team in NBA history without making some smart decisions along the way, which is where we currently sit with this team. Let's have a look at the players. Of course, Steph Curry was sensational for this team during the season. We know how good he is. We know how good of a player he is. We know how good of a fantasy option he is. I don't think that's breaking news to anybody, just how good Steph Curry is as a fantasy contributor. He has consistently been an upper echelon player, and this year he was the third ranked player overall in fantasy. Only played 51 games. Those ankles were a real concern. 32 minutes, 26, 5, and 6 with over 4 triples, 1.6 steals, and 50, 90. And if you count 3-point percentage, he was excellent as well. 42% from 3. Another great year from Curry. Looking back at his numbers over the past 5 seasons, his ranks have been 2, 1, 1, 5, and 3. Even with the addition of Durant, we saw the points drop, but the value is still there from Steph. And the ankles are the real worry here, but prior to this season, he had missed in each year 4, 2, 3, and 3 games. So while he missed 31 games this season, I'm not necessarily thinking, oh, the ankle worries are back and the knee problems and it's going to be a consistent problem. I'd be really happy with taking Steph Curry in the top 5 again next season. Kevin Durant was the 5th ranked player this season as well. Wasn't his best year by any stretch of the imagination. Averaged 34 minutes per game, 26 points, 2.5 threes, almost 7 boards, 5.5 assists, 0.7 steals, and almost 2 blocks, 52 and 89, including 42% from 3. So he saw a little bit of a change in his game from his first year in Golden State. Scored more points, hit more threes, significantly fewer rebounds this season. Bumped his assists, but lost out on steals and increased his blocks. But still, he's hovering around that top 5 zone where he's been pretty much the majority of his career. Excellent efficiency from the field. Gets to the line a ton. Hits them at a huge rate as well. And now, shooting the 3 at a larger rate. Nothing to suggest that anything's going to really change with Durant last season. Interestingly, with Kevin, he has not reached 70 games played in either of the past 2 seasons. In fact, over his past 4 seasons, his games played total is a little bit worrisome. 27, 72, 62, and 68. Now, the 27 was the broken foot, but there's just always these little nagging injuries. A knee injury last season, a few little nagging injuries this year. With his calf, I believe it was. It's something where I'm a little bit more worried about his durability than I am with Steph Curry, who had the bad problem this year, but had been relatively healthy. Whereas Durant, this is 3 out of the last 4 seasons that have been a little bit of a concern. We don't really talk about that. You can pile as much shit as you want on Anthony Davis. He's playing more games than Kevin Durant. He's played 75 each of the last 2. Durant hasn't even sniffed 70 yet in those 2 years with Golden State. So that's, I guess, somewhat of something to keep in mind. We still wouldn't have any issue with him as a first round guy, and you'd want to consider him in that top 5 to top 6 zone, but it's not something that we can 100% discount in terms of looking at his overall fantasy numbers or overall fantasy impact. Anyway, Draymond Green just continues to be a contributor in many different areas. 33 minutes, 11, 7.5, and 7.5 with a triple one. 1.1 threes, 1.3 steals, 1.3 blocks, 45, 78, and a pretty disappointing 30% from three. Now, he suffered a little bit last season when Durant arrived in terms of his shooting, which was weird. We thought, okay, the efficiency will be fine from Draymond. It went down to 42%. He bumped it back to 45 this year and showed a significant improvement in his free throw percentage, 7 percentage point increase from 71 to 78. That's great to see. The 3-point percentage, which in 15-16 he shot 39, he hasn't got over 31 in the next 2 years, so that's somewhat of a concern. But he's still a guy who just hovers in this second round range. Now, if you're drafting him in the second round, you have to be aware that you're getting 10 or 11 points, and that makes it really hard to catch up in that points category. So he is a guy that, while the threes, the rebounds, the assists, the steals, the blocks are all really, really strong with average percentages, those numbers are really strong. You need to be aware that getting points outside of the first four rounds is a very difficult proposition. There are ways to do it, really specific ways, and that often can mean reaching. But it might be a case in a head-to-head league where you go, you know what, I'm just punting points. Because having Draymond, when nearly all of the other guys are averaging 18 to 25 points in those first two rounds, and he averages 11, being able to catch up from that can be quite a difficult thing. And it makes him, at times, a relatively difficult fantasy guy to build around. And you can look at a guy, but Josh, he should be easy to build around because he contributes in all these other areas. And that is true, but finding points is hard. All of the top point scorers are concentrated in the top 50. And going back from past numbers, I don't have them in front of me exactly. But in general, out of the top 50 overall ranked players, you'd have 40 of the top 50 point scorers. Whereas for other categories, you'd have 20 of the top 50 assist guys, 25 of the top rebound guys, 20 of the top block guys. So meaning you could find those other categories outside the top 50. You just can't really find them for points as much. And that's a really important point when looking at drafting, is how quickly points really do disappear after those first couple of rounds. And if you take Draymond in the second, your ability to be competitive in that points category is significantly impacted. And that is, again, it's something you do. And I'd be interested to know, out of everyone listening to this podcast who drafted Draymond, did you win your league? I'd be interested to see, because while his numbers look good and overall ranking metrics put him at this number 22, did you win your league with Draymond Green? It's interesting to find, because I think there could be some... this is completely speculation. The people who drafted him may have found it a little bit tough to win if they didn't build their team in the right way. He can be a tough one to deal with, in a similar way to what Lonzo Ball is going to become in future seasons. Klay Thompson, Tomo, 34 minutes per game, 20 points with 3 threes, 4 boards, 2.5 assists, 0.8 steals and 0.5 blocks, 49-84. We know the elite percentages from Klay, 44 from 3 as well, true shooting of 60, but he offers very little outside of the threes, which are strong, the 20 points, which are excellent, and for as good of a reputation he has as being a defender, he just doesn't bring it in defensive stats for fantasy. He was the 42nd ranked player, a dip from the past couple of seasons where he'd been a 22 point per game scorer, went from 34th down to 42nd this season. Because if the scoring's not there, there's just not enough happening in these other areas. He's never going to be 4 assists. He's not going to be 6 rebounds. He's not going to be 1.5 steals. And that's all that you need to be able to become a top 20 guy. He's never going to be able to do that. Elite efficiency numbers, but even then, 49% from the field, it only generates you a Z score of negative 0.44. So he's not an influencer there. 84 from the line is great, but it's 1.3 attempts. So that's a Z score of 0.15. He's not an influencer there. It's the points, it's the threes. And while I just went on and talked about how important points are, he was still under a Z score of 1 there, but still okay. But the other category that's bumping his value and significantly higher than anything else are his threes, which you can get in other areas. Now, it is hard to find three-point shooters who provide 49% field goal percentage as well as 20-point scoring. So he has his value, but he can be a little bit overrated because so much of his value is really concentrated in that three-point category and, to a lesser extent, the points category. But we know how important Klay is. Weirdly, the defensive box score plus minus numbers, they really don't like Klay. A negative 2.4 is obviously not really very good at all, but on-off stuff, yeah, it does like him. That's weird, and I guess that's to do with the fact that he just doesn't generate defensive stats like other players do. That's their four guys. They're four all-stars. They're all top 50 players. And then, that's it. You don't really have much fantasy value. You've got David West, who was the 183rd ranked player this season because he blocked a shot a game and had 57% from the field and 76 from the line. They're his strength categories. But 7 points, 3 boards, 2 assists, nothing spectacular there. David West is not a guy that we're looking at and going, oh, yeah, we're looking at him taking a step forward next season or anything like that. We know who David West is at this point. He's a guy who is going to be 38 during next season. He's he's over 37 and a half at the moment. And then you've got Andre Iguodala, who didn't even crack the top 200. Played 25 a night. He's 34 years of age, 6 points, 4 rebounds and 3 assists with 0.8 steals and 0.6 blocks. Now, if Iguodala played 31 a night, you'd be all over him for fantasy. It's just never happening. And if the team is healthy, if Durant's not missing games, if Curry's not missing games, then Iguodala probably even sees fewer minutes than the 25 minutes per game that he saw this season. So him and David West, if West even returns or if he even plays in the NBA next season, still up for debate. These guys are just 20-team league guys at best. What we do want to talk about and where the interesting parts here, like it's nothing interesting about Zaza. There's nothing interesting about JaVale McGee. And yeah, Sean Livingston was outside the top 300. He's going to turn 33 in a couple of months. He's not offering anything interesting for fantasy. But unlike, say, the Houston Rockets, there are some younger players on here who showed flashes. And we'll start by talking about former Chicago Bull who netted the Reinsdorf's $3.5 million. That is, of course, Jordan Bell, who had some really strong stretches this season, had ankle injuries which bothered him and left him at 57 games, only 14 minutes, started some games, fell out of the rotation as Kevon Looney stepped up, but with Looney potentially gone, JaVale, West, Zaza, all these guys might not be around, you can see Bell having a better role. Now, he only played 14 a night, 4.6 points with 3.6 boards, 0.6 steals and a block, and those numbers don't look great. But 63% from the field, yeah, that does look great. And let's look at him on a per 36 basis, because he was the 20th overall player in per 36 value. 12-9, 4.5 assists, 1.6 steals, 2.5 blocks on 63% shooting from the field. Those are excellent, excellent per 36 numbers. And Jordan Bell was impressive in that sort of a sense. A defensive box score plus minus of 3.7 as a rookie is absolutely, as anybody, it's extraordinary. As a rookie, it's massive. Win shares as 0.174 per 48 is huge. A PER of 18, a true shooting of 64. His advanced numbers are spectacularly good. He's second on this team in on-off behind Steph Curry. Steve Kerr had issues with him, though. We saw that. He didn't like some of the showboating, some of the concentration issues, but I think that Bell is in line for a massive jump next season. Now, he's not going to be a 30-minute per game guy. I don't think anybody should be under any illusions that that's going to be the case, but he should see more than those 14 minutes that he saw last season. He had a stretch of starts where he played 25, 24, 24, 26, 25, 22, 27, and that makes him a comfortable top 100 guy. And if he's starting and playing 24 minutes per night next season, I don't think anyone should be surprised. And I don't think anyone should be surprised if he averaged 8-8 with 1.4 steals and 1.8 blocks and went at 65% from the field. Again, nobody should be surprised at these values. Will he ever become a 32-minute per game guy? Probably not. But does he have top 50 upside in 27 minutes? Absolutely he does. And the ability that he showed to get assists, 2 assists in only 14 minutes per game, 4.5 per 36 is really impressive, which is not something we necessarily thought with that. Add the steals, add the blocks, add the efficiency, add the rebounds. He can be a Draymond Green-ish type fantasy guy with low scoring, maybe not to that top 20 level, but a guy that can provide great value. So with lots of openings happening in this Warriors front court, even though he was skipped in the rotation by Looney last season, he'll be heading into his second season only. So he has got a massive room to increase, and I think Jordan Bell will be a guy that I'd be interested in, depending how everything works out in the preseason and offseason. I'd be interested in looking at him as a standard league last round pick. Because if they decide they want to go that route with Bell, then there's a lot of upside there in Jordy. So someone definitely that we should be paying attention to for next season. Now, Quinn Cook, a guy that was around the Atlanta Hawks, he's around the New Orleans Pelicans, signed a two-way with the Warriors, and eventually was starting to put up really strong numbers when Steph Curry got hurt and he was starting towards the end of the season, showed capabilities to be a solid enough NBA caliber point guard. In these starts towards the end of the year, 30 points, 19 points, 12, 12, 21, 14, multiple threes in all these games, significant assists, okay steal numbers. I think you have to be impressed with what Cook was able to do. 22 minutes per game for the season, 9.5 with 1.5 threes, 2.7 assists, half a steal, and really efficient. And those efficiency numbers carry on from what he did in the G League. 48% from the field, 44% from three. In fact, in his 14 games the year before for the Pelicans, he shot similarly, 51 from the field, 42% from three. At this point, we have to say he's just a good shooter. And I think that he is going to be back with this team for next season. I don't have too much of a doubt that we're going to see Quinn Cook back, especially considering his contract's guaranteed and the value that he provides there. But it is going to take, obviously, a Steph Curry injury for him to jump into significant value. But he can be a 20-team league player, even in a minimal role, especially if Nick Young goes and they want to play him alongside Steph a little bit more, which would be, I guess, an interesting type wrinkle that they could potentially go with there for Quinn Cook. Kevon Looney was also impressive at times this season, especially his ability to block shots. Ended up playing 66 games, 14 minutes, 4 points, 3 rebounds, half a steal, 0.8 blocks, and 58% from the field, but a terrible free throw percentage of 55%. But that high field goal percentage and the high block rate of over 2 blocks per 36 and the 1.3 steals per 36 to go with almost 9 rebounds meant that there were times when you were looking at Kevon Looney as being a solid option. In fact, towards the end of the year, he was blocking shots in pretty much every game as he found himself in a 20-minute-plus role in most of those nights. And again, if he finds himself on another team that needs a power forward, he does struggle at times offensively. He can have issues there, but that shot blocking ability, the rebounding ability, the efficiency stuff that Kevon Looney can bring, that could really be of use in fantasy, but his value is going to be significantly tied to what team he ends up on. Some good defensive box score plus minus stuff. The offensive stuff is still a worry for Looney, but he can be a contributor in his field goal percentage, in his blocks, in those steals, and push him to 27 minutes per night. And I think I'd want him in a standard league type of setting. Then you got Pat McCaw, who really did regress this season. Only 17 minutes in 57 games, had that terrible back injury where he landed after getting smacked by Vince Carter. 1.5 assists and 0.8 steals and only 3 assists per 36. Now, one thing that we saw from him in Summer League was excellent steal rate and the ability to hit threes. Now, his threes dropped way off this year, only 24%, but he got his steal rate up to a decent amount, 1.6 steals per 36. And on a different team, if he finds himself somewhere else, I think his ability, he can handle the ball, he can score a bit, and he can get steals. In a big enough role, a 26-minute-per-night role, he could be a 1.4 steals guy, a 3 assists guy, a 1.7 threes guy. That's a 14-16 team value play. Now, it's probably not going to happen in Golden State. He did regress this season. So that's, you know, somewhat of a concern. The efficiency dipped from 54 true shooting down to 48 true shooting. That's not an ideal scenario as well. But I haven't given up hope with McCaw. The steal rate was a nice surprise. The play in Summer League in a different type of environment where he's asked to do a little bit more or play more minutes, I think that we could still see something good come out of Patrick McCaw. It just wasn't a great time. But if you're looking to buy very, very low in a deep dynasty, this is probably the time to do it. Another player who could necessitate them moving on from Pachulia, McGee, West, the other one, Looney, is Damian Jones, who saw his first, I guess, significant action this season. Played 10 games the year before, but 15 this season. Played okay at times for the Warriors. 10-6 per 36, 1.2 blocks, but still, he's clearly got quite a bit to go, but he is heading into his third season. We saw Looney provide basically nothing until his third season, which was this year in the NBA. So are they looking for Jones to move into that backup center type of role in his time in the G League for Santa Cruz? 45 games started, 31 minutes, averaged 15-8 with 2.2 blocks and 0.6 steals. 68% from the field, obviously really impressive. Good defensive numbers, a strong win share numbers. I thought he was really good for the G League team this season, and I think you could find him move into a role where he sees more than 6 minutes per game and maybe moves into a 14-minute role, and that shot blocking and field goal percentage could be an interesting stream type scenario for Damo Jones. So a guy, again, in very deep dynasty leagues, this is his opportunity to get that extra role and to jump into a larger situation. So keep an eye on a guy like Damian Jones, a player who does have some fantasy upside. Whether he realizes that or not is a stretch to think he's going to get that far, but he's in an interesting spot nonetheless, given the way this Warriors team is currently constructed. That wraps it up for the season recap series of podcasts. Make sure you are subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, or on Spotify. And of course, you can do that on YouTube as well. Leave a 5-star rating and check out the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network on Twitter at Locked On NBA Net. NBA Draft, it's coming. Get excited. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Andre Iguodala.